Hey guys, it's Jessica, founder of Noonday Collection. Welcome to the You Matter podcast. On this podcast, I want you to get ready to be inspired to be more courageous and to own your worth. Get ready to feel connected to the artisan community and to the community where you have a place of belonging, the ambassador community. Because the truth is, you matter, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to another episode of You Matter. This week, we're going to continue our celebration of National Adoption Month, which I've had so much fun seeing y'all's post on that this week, with a conversation with Suzanne Campbell. Suzanne is an adoptive mama who won a trip to Austin as part of our collaboration with IF Gathering earlier this year. While Suzanne was in town, she and I and her husband had a great lunch together, and I had no idea who I was going to meet, but we had so much in common. We connected over our adoptions and our shared hearts for justice, pursuing authentic diversity, and so much more. So I'm excited for you to get to listen in as Suzanne and I reconnect to talk about the things that make our hearts beat faster. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Suzanne. So just to give you guys a background, Suzanne won a contest through IF Gathering. This last year, IF Gathering did a contest where if you signed up to host a trunk show during a certain month, you were entered to win a trip to Austin. And Suzanne won that trip. And I got to hang out with Suzanne and her husband at one of my favorite little local spots, Contigo. And oh my gosh, I could have hung out with you guys all afternoon.
Aw, we could have as well. So it was so fun.
It was so fun. And so, Suzanne, first, I would love for you to share a little bit about your history with Noonday and brag on your ambassador for a little bit.
You got it. So my history with Noonday is I'm an adoptive mom. So I feel like Noonday is a big part of a lot of adoptive mom stories. So I have a lot of friends that are ambassadors with Noonday. I'm really familiar with Noonday, and I love its story, and I love what you all do for the women around the world and empowering them. And so my ambassador was Lauren Burrell. We had actually just moved to a new house. And so when I saw, I thought, well, this is a perfect way for me to meet my new neighbors, is to have a Noonday party and have appetizers and wine. So it was just really perfect. I connected with Lauren, and of course, she was super excited, and we did. I had my neighbors down. So it was just people I hadn't even met yet, too. A lot of them and some of my friends that have come, and we hung out, and Lauren shared the Noonday story, and it was really fun to just sit around and be together. So that's what I love about Noonday parties. They're so relaxed and fun and easy and simple. And Lauren's really good at creating that environment for the people that are there, which is why I love having her host for me. So
that's
yeah,
so fun.
You're a friend that was how I won the trip. Yeah.
Now, how'd you host
Kansas City?
Oh, Kansas City. That's right. Sorry. I don't know why I get.
Yep. Yep. No, that's confused. Okay.
And now, had you hosted a Noonday Collection trunk show prior to this?
So I had never hosted one before, but one was hosted for me as a baby shower before we went to go get our daughter from South Africa.
Okay. Tell me about.
So, and that's where I met Lauren. Okay. So, yeah, I was really kind of funny. In the end, a lot of people wanted to throw me a baby shower once we got matched and we knew the age and gender. And I don't know, there was something about it that it kind of reminded me all the things that I didn't know about my daughter, like the idea of trying to figure out her size or clothes or all about it just made me feel like, I don't know exactly what she would wear or what she, I don't know. It felt very overwhelming. And then one of my daughter's friends from school, her mom was like, well, what if I did a Noonday party for you? And I was like, yes, that's the perfect thing to do because I just love Noonday already and just thought that's a gift for other, for people too. And quite honestly, it was, for me, it kind of felt like, well, we really do need spending cash once we get there. We really will need that for food and just incidentals and all that kind of stuff. So it was really a win-win. And that's how I met Lauren initially. So she had Lauren and she had all this great food from Africa and it was awesome. It was a beautiful party and it was so fun. And what was so great is that the money that we got as our gift from this Noonday party paid for a one-way ticket home for our daughter from South Africa. So it was so amazingly generous and so wonderful. And yeah, so it was really just the perfect, and I was sharing the story of our daughter and she was born premature at 28 weeks. And then later the ambassador, Lauren, came up to me. She goes, I was born at 28 weeks. And I was like, what?
Wow.
So crazy. So it was just a really beautiful connection. And it was just the perfect, it really helped me feel comfortable about having a baby because all my friends were just so annoyed with me. They're like, why won't you let us celebrate? And I'm like, I just don't know. I just don't want more baby clothes. And so it was the perfect gift. Like I just loved it. So, and obviously my husband was pretty thrilled in the end too. It helped us financially.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Yeah, I know. He was like, we could do Noonday parties any day. This is awesome. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. Okay. And so tell us your daughter's name.
Her name is Tabby. And she's five, going to be six.
Tell me what she's into these days.
Yep. Well, it's kind of hard because she's into anything. Well, anything that involves like music and dancing and being the center of attention. Actually, so she should biologically be my daughter because that's exactly like I am. And my biological daughters are really shy. And I'm like, where did you come from? So Tabby fits quite well in with me. So yeah, she loves to just be active, gymnastics. Yeah, she's just a big bright light.
That's awesome. Okay, so one of the, I mean, I love so many things that we talked about that day at lunch, but I also loved hearing your adoption story because you exhibited a lot of tenacity in it. And I loved what you shared about, you were like, when I see an obstacle, you know, I just climb over it. So many people think when they see obstacles that it's like a quote unquote sign from God to turn around. And that was so inspiring to me. So why don't you share with us just your story of how this came to be and some of the obstacles that you did face that you climbed over?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of joke, like we started the adoption process in 1970. Like it felt forever ago that we started this thing, but it was in 2009 and I had to confirm that with my husband because it feels like forever ago. But yeah, we started the process in the Ethiopia program with All God's Children, which I know there's lots of ambassadors that I know that, I met in that journey. And, yeah, it was just a long process of waiting. And it was really my first time in life, I say that with such a grateful heart. I don't mean it flippantly of just learning to wait. It was the first time I entered something that I literally had no control over. Once you do all the paperwork, that's totally controllable. But then after you send it off, you're just there and waiting. And I think learning how to like allow to live in that space of life happening and occurring while you're also waiting and unsure, how much life do I live without this little baby that we're waiting on? Because I want to savor so much of that life with them. And that tension was always just a hard balance for me to learn. And really, truly, the community was such a huge piece of the tenacity and of really understanding hope and trust. Like community was what got me through it. And community of like-minded people are just so important because not everybody understands and any whatever that means for us that we go through in life. It can be a loss or a gain or a success, whatever it looks like. I think when it's somebody that has experienced it or is experiencing it, they were just like water to my dry soul as friends. So I have some really deep friendships because of that. And I'm sure your ambassadors feel that together with each other, because they're, I mean, they have to show tenacity and doing it together. It's such a big deal. Community is such a big deal. So yeah. And then eventually the Ethiopia program really shifted and changed. And we were sort of seeing that years into it. And my husband and I went to Haiti with Global Orphan Project on a vision trip. And that was really our first touch in like what a global orphan looked like, and realizing that not every orphan in an, or not every child in an orphanage is an orphan. Mm-hmm. And so when we came home from Haiti, our minds and hearts were spinning of like, do we continue this process? Like we want to adopt a child that is an orphan, and that's our intention. That's our heart. And so we just really spent a lot of time praying about it and considering where to go next. And that was a really hard, that was probably one of our big walls, was just that decision of leaving the Ethiopia program, because my heart, our hearts were so there in that country. We had fallen in love with it, the food. There's a strong Ethiopian community here in Kansas City. And so I'd gotten to know a lot of those women, and, but just knowing that, just like you said, I used to think that a wall meant like a closed door. And I really think walls are put there for us to learn how to climb and learn how to build muscles that we need to build in order to, for what's ahead on the other side, and the gift of it. What's the gift of the, of what's in front of me that seems impossible, and what can it grow in me? Was something that I really had to learn how to ask myself. And I didn't want to ask myself that question. I wanted to lay in bed and pull the covers up. And I did. I mean, there's plenty of days that I did that. But the choice to climb and build new muscles and grow was greater. And to learn that God is bigger and I'm smaller was really big for me. And so I had a friend that had joined the South Africa program. So my husband and I researched that and really loved the program, and just really loved the work that they're doing in South Africa. Just really domestic adoption is alive and active in South Africa. And that was really important to us, that every, you know, that they, all the due diligence of placing children, if not with a kinship of family, but within its own country, was all of those, you know, hoops were jumped through, and that international really was that last stop for those kiddos. And that really is true in the South Africa program. And so we joined, and it was a year from start to finish, which seemed like a blink of an eye compared to the 6 years we had waited with Ethiopia. So I know, it's so wild, but like you said, and I just really, those 6 years were not wasted, although during them they were really hard, you know, but, yeah. And you know, what's really funny, Jessica, is that this is on Friday is our 2 year anniversary that we legally adopted her. So 2 years ago we were in South Africa with her. Yeah, so this is just a fun week of celebrating and remembering that sweet time. And we took our older girls with us to South Africa, which I think was awesome to do, so that they really could get their feet on the ground and their eyes could see and touch and know where Tabby's from and her home country and what all that meant and part of her story. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Okay, so the journey did a lot in you. What else has adoption? I mean, because like, I think if I hadn't adopted, their Noonday Collection wouldn't exist. We wouldn't be even in this conversation. So what do you think was sort of, I feel like adoption can have this domino effect. So what are some of the other dominoes that have fallen in your life?
Well, you know what you're asking, like, you know what I'm going to, so we, a lot of dominoes had really, for both my husband and I think adoption at the base, I think when, for us, my husband and I were Christians and followers of Jesus, and he says, care for the orphans and widows. And I think we learned those aren't suggestions in the Bible. He actually like kind of means it. And so when we really took his word to heart and started pursuing hard after those things, then everything sort of, the domino began to fall for us. All of it began to fall, which is really sweet because I think the Lord probably delighted in it because he was like, I'm so ready for these dominoes to fall. Will y'all say yes and let it go and say yes to it being hard and messy and looking different and all of that. So for us, that looked like my husband is a business mind. I'm the creative. So we make a good brain together, but for him, it was really just like, man, my giftings can really serve well in being with visionaries and alongside people who are doing work in other countries. So like I'd mentioned Global Orphan before, he's really become involved with them and really just opened. It's really opened him up in ways, which has been really cool as a wife to watch him use his giftings for greater things and things with purpose. And for people, purposeful. And for us, we considered moving to Africa kind of in that same time period where we were wondering what's going on with Ethiopia. We considered becoming missionaries in Ethiopia, thinking maybe that's why our hearts are here. And that door really wasn't the right door for us. And now we live in the city. So we moved from suburbia and we were in Overland Park, Kansas. And now we live in Kansas City, Missouri, in a neighborhood, an underprivileged neighborhood, and in the city that's very diverse, which is unique in Kansas City and a lot of cities, but it's really diverse. Our lives are inundated with refugees are all around us. Poor, rich, we actually live in kind of a historic spot. So there really is economic diversity along with racial diversity around us. And really that's because of adoption. We wouldn't have, I don't think our lives would have changed and in this way that we just really want to live out what the Lord is asking of us. And we want our kids to be around people who are not like them. And I want Tabby to be around people that look like her and that are literally from Africa. That's also really fun for her to know Africans, and be friends with them and, their children. So that's really where our lives have changed in that regard. And same, I think with our kids too, of the domino effect, not only in our lives, but I'm often interested to watch what the Lord is going to do with my children down the road. Even just, I was talking with a girlfriend yesterday who's in the adoption process right now. And gosh, our kids are going to build their families different. Like I never knew this was a way to build your family growing up, you know? And so I'm interested to just even see how my daughters decide to build their families.
Totally.
So yeah, like I think that's the generational effect then too, I think. So yeah, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law have also adopted and they, from the Congo and she, met a man down there. So we actually, the two of us help, raise awareness and funds for women to go to sewing school in the Congo. And so, that's really exciting work that we get to do on the side. And we're just like, just two moms, just, you know, just like you, Jessica, I mean, just the same, we're just normal people and, just saying yes to different things in front of us that we know are important. So
talking about your kids and their perspective shifting because your perspective has shifted. My kids have gone, going to, Amelie's in middle school now. She's at a different school, but, all my kids have been at this school that is 40% kids on free and reduced lunch. So economically diverse as well as racially diverse.
Yes.
And she came home from school last year and was like, Mommy, you didn't tell me that the White House was built by slaves and George Washington is a total hypocrite. And I was like, hey, wow, I was not really saying stuff like that when coming back from my very privileged elementary fifth grade. And so I was like, well, tell me,
no, you know,
tell me more about this perspective. And anyway, she told me about this book that her African-American teacher was reading to her in school. And it was history from the African-American perspective. And it's like, on one hand, hearing her, I was like, okay, this is awesome. She's growing up with a different perspective. And on the other hand, I was like, wait a minute. I hope she's still going to grow up to love America and be patriotic, you know?
I know.
Funny. I was like holding this tension in this moment. And so I actually called one of my African-American friends, Tasha Morrison, who now leads this organization, Be the Bridge. And I was like, okay, well, let me tell you what just went down. Like, you know,
like, help me here.
I'm all for her growing up with this new perspective. But like, is she going to grow up hating America? And Tasha just kind of laughs. She goes, well, one thing for sure is that Amelie is going to grow up woke. And I was like, tell me what you mean by that. You know, like,
I love that.
Like, growing up woke.
Yeah.
Aware and awake. And so it is interesting to think about like those of us that maybe didn't grow up like that, but now are sort of raising our children in that mindset. So I would love to hear more, maybe now that you guys have made this transition from suburbia to the city, you're raising a diverse family, you're in a diverse area. What are some ways in which you, even now the adoption process woke you up, but now this move, like what are more ways that your perspective is shifting, especially in regards to your own privilege and power?
Oh, so kind of backing up to what you were saying, when we were in South Africa and we went to Soweto, so Tabby was in Johannesburg, but she's from Soweto, and Soweto is where like Nelson Mandela is from as well. So we went to this museum for apartheid, and it was the first time that my kids understood that there was a black and white divide, the first time, and we were in another country. And so that really woke my husband and I up to like, wow, like this is happening in America, but they thought this was just like something that happened in South Africa, trying to figure out, so wait, police officers and like just putting this whole history thing together and then having that same conversation about our own country. They didn't really know this racial divide that we have here in America. So it's interesting, and it's beautiful too, now coming here that we live in the city now. What's beautiful about my kids is that they do not enter this city with prejudices. My kids are the one entering the city without prejudice. And I entered the city with my prejudice. And I wanted to pretend like I didn't have it. I also didn't want to pretend. I wanted to pretend like I didn't have privilege. And I do. And that has been what has been the biggest piece for me that I have learned over the year of living here in the city is how incredibly privileged I am. And, but how incredibly the same we really all are. And, I think for us, our home is a historic home, and it's blatant on our street that we have privilege and we have apartments all around us. So it's like, we can't pretend like we don't have it. You know, it's not like we moved into an underprivileged area and bought a home that matches the area, if that makes sense, you know? So,
you're not living in the apartment.
Yeah. So it's almost just, no. So we didn't do that. And I really think that was the Lord in many ways. And for us, it wasn't super intentional. I wish I could say that we had more intentionality in it all, but we sort of didn't. And, now we have neighbor dinner on Monday nights, and we have our neighbors all in our home, every week. And we read just a passage of the Bible together, and we share a meal together. And it is surprising how lonely people are and how often people are not invited into a home. And especially one man even said, no one in one of these mansions has ever invited me over. And I wanted to say, oh, I don't live in a mansion, but I do. And he lives in an apartment. And so, and he was even bold in saying to us, you know, I really didn't want to come over here. I didn't really want to be here. And I just didn't know what it would be like or what you would be like. So the funny thing is everybody has their own prejudices, you know, and what they think of the other. And can we sit and share a meal and share the word of God together and find common ground? Well, I can tell you, yes, you can. Is it awkward and weird? For sure. It is. But that's what's so beautiful about my kids. It's really not awkward and weird for them. Mm-hmm. They don't really think too much of it. You know, safety, they don't think too much about all those things. And I do. And I read a book called Beyond Charity by Dr. John Perkins before mm-hmm. we moved. And I got connected with his organization in LA. And I got to talk with one man. And I was telling him, you know, oh, we considered moving to Africa and now we're moving to the city. And he goes, yeah, people don't like moving to the city. They'd rather move to Africa. And I said, why is that? And he said, because when you move to the city, you're up against your own prejudices within your own country. But when you move to another country, you know, you don't know the country culture enough to have, everybody has their own prejudices in their own cultures, you know? And so he goes, you're going to move in and you're going to have to decide whether or not you really believe that this prostitute on my street wants to be a prostitute. But now that I know her name and now that I know she was in the foster care system for 18 years, it's a little bit different now for me. Mm. And my opinions are really different. And what's crazy is adoption is very strange in the city. Especially a white family adopting, it's normally kinship. It's normally a family member or grandparent or foster care. So that's been really interesting. Whereas in suburbia, you know, there's Orphan Sunday and there's this whole thing around adoption and that does not exist down. Nobody really cares down here. I mean, they care about adopt, but you know what I mean? It's not, at church, we don't have these big celebratory Sundays, and there's nothing wrong with those days. I'm not saying that, but it's just different mentality here, you know? So, yeah, I think I can drown in my privilege around here, and I can get bogged down about it too and feel bad, or I can say, hey, you know what? I have privilege, so I'm going to do something about it. So I'm going to use my voice, and I'm not going to be ashamed about it. So I am white. And I do have a college degree, and my dad did pay for me to go to college. So I can own these things and stand in that part of my story as a way to rise up alongside others, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is beautiful. And that's what's beautiful about Noonday too. And that was what was beautiful about my party, the Noonday party that really helped fund that plane ticket for us. That was people using their privilege to buy jewelry for me and for women around the world, the artisans around the world. So we get the power to choose. And mm-hmm. so it's how we choose our power and our privilege, I guess, to use it. And so, and that's the thing too, that's been really good for my kids. I didn't grow up thinking I was privileged. I always knew there was a more upper echelon than the one I existed in.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, but my kids don't see anything bigger around where we live than where we live in particular. And they get it. And so they, you know, we always have clementines in our car for the people on the side of the street asking for money. And we always give, that's always a great thing. P.S. Grab a bag of clementines and keep them in your car. Everybody loves fruit.
That's a great tip.
Just apples or bananas, things like that they don't typically get is like fruit. So that's an easy thing to grab and have in your car. So we know people's names and talk to them. They're our friends. And there's a cool group of people that live here too that are living the way that we are living too, just different, just intentionally. And it's not because we're special. And I have to probably admit that I probably thought I was special too when we first moved. And I'm really not. These the people, my neighbors that are now my friends, they are a complete gift to me, the way that they see life, and is very refreshing to be around.
What would you
I'm
say?
Grateful. I'm really grateful for it.
What would you say to the person listening right now whose heart is beating kind of fast and is kind of like, man, I know that there are some things that I could do to sort of shift using my privilege for good? I mean, obviously, who's listening is ambassadors, and our ambassadors are badasses. So I'm just saying.
Yes, we're they talking, are.
We're talking to a good crowd right now. But, but what about that person who, you know, maybe being an ambassador was their first step to kind of like, okay, I'm going to take action. I'm going to own my power. And, you know, so many of our ambassadors, you know, are in homes with people that have money. And now I'm jumping all over the place because I was going to say, how do you build that bridge to sort of that people with privilege? But first, speak to the person whose heart is beating fast. What would you say to her?
Beating fast in regards to like moving to the city or just in general?
Just like putting on a different perspective, using her power and her privilege to impact others.
Yeah, so I think I would say that I know exactly how you feel, and that I love that you said the heart beating fast, because that's always just the first sign that like there is something that you need to continue to move towards, and you need to surround yourself like with your community of people, or be with the Lord if that's a way that, you know, you center yourself and ask people around you, you know, what do you see in me, and I feel like something is being grown in me, and maybe I'm being pushed towards something. And are you seeing that? And can you speak into that? And I think a lot of times we already know what it is. We're just too afraid to take the first step. So if like becoming an ambassador, that was like your first yes, then I would say find what is your next. I always just want to ask myself, what's my next yes? You know, it's nothing big. It's not a giant leap. It's always just one yes after another. You know, it's those tiny little yeses. And I think for me, like when it first started for me, when all of this was like, I don't know what to do with all these things that are swimming in my brain. I know that there is this other world. For me, it began really little back when we were back in suburbia. And I just made a decision that my kids were not, I was a grown up church girl, which meant I lived life inside my church. And so when adoption really exploded my mind about the true gospel and what Jesus is actually telling us to do, I made a decision as a mom that my kids would not be more involved in the church than we were outside of it. So we were saying no to children's choir and no to this Tuesday night thing and that, if we're not serving Jesus somewhere else equally the same. And that was our first, we would drive downtown, actually not very far from where we live now. And I just did a Bible club. I found an organization my church was already connected with. So I, you know, I knew that it existed in the city, and I called it up and I said, I've got two daughters. These are their ages. I want them involved with me. What can we do? And they were, of course, like, yes, please bring your kids. Like, I have kids that you can hang out with. And we did. We had two girls, and we did basically just did homework after school every Thursday with them. And then we would drive back, and my oldest daughter, Marin, said, oh, I get it, Mom. So if you're black, you live down here. And then if you're white, you live up here. And that's when the tears started streaming. And so it was just, that was that first yes for all of us. When I then realized, wow, now we're really seeing the divide. It's blatant. And now what to do with it. And so you can get so overwhelmed in this, like this can become such a deep hole, right? So for me, I think it's just keeping it really simple and finding a yes that's your yes and sticking with it. And I also think we get so bogged down in trying to do the big thing, and I think the big is found in the tiny thing. Like the tiny yes is really what's important, because I get bogged down wishing that, man, you know, I homeschool my kids and I do, and it feels like I'm not doing anything. And I just think that's such a lie that I can believe to really lessen the actual big yeses that I am saying in my life. Mm-hmm. So I don't, did that even answer the question? I don't know if it did. Yeah, I feel like I just talked a lot, but okay.
It's like all the little yeses. I think the point is like all the little yeses lead to where you are now. And I think often we compare our beginnings to someone else's ending. And so I think the point is that like, don't compare, you know, but like listen to the pitter patter, and maybe the pitter patter right now is, you know, small-ish, you know, maybe it's buying the book that you just mentioned, you know, what was it called again?
Beyond Charity by Dr. John Perkins.
You know, I mean, that could be the beginning of something. Maybe it is going ahead and sitting down and talking to your husband about adoption, or, you know, whatever it is, but those little yeses, of course, now people have also heard there's a domino effect, which can be scary, but we're talking to my ambassadors and they're ready for the dominoes to come tumbling down. So,
yes, they already are tumbling so many dominoes, and
they truly are. They are tumbling dominoes in all of the communities that they're in. I'm just so proud of them and so grateful for their voice. And so, well, anyway, well, thank you so much. It's been so fun to get to know you. And I just love your story. And thanks for sharing it today.
Thank you for having me. And thank you, ambassadors, for listening. Y'all are rock stars. And keep doing what you're doing, because these stories are important to share. And you could start the domino effect for a lot of people. Like, I think that's what's really cool about Noonday and your ambassadors, is that you can start the domino effect in sharing this story and other stories. So I think it's really important work what you guys are doing, and thank you for saying yes.
I loved getting to hear more about Suzanne's adoption journey and how Noonday helped play a role in her story. I mean, One Trunk Show covered her daughter's plane ticket home. I was in tears. As she shared, adoption can be a tough road, and we're so honored to get to walk alongside these brave families and to help rally their communities around them through Adoption Trunk Shows. I also loved what Suzanne shared about how important it is for all of us to wake up to our privilege, and how Noonday can help people wake up in a way that's empowering rather than intimidating. And we talk a lot about the impact that we have on our artisan partners around the world, but we also have the opportunity to empower women right here in our own communities by showing them that they have the power to make a meaningful difference in the world. And it's as easy as buying a necklace, hosting a trunk show, or becoming an ambassador. Thanks so much for listening today. And as always, see me on the Facebook page to tell me what your takeaways were from today's episode of You Matter.